fundraising and venture capital for startups. This is the Early Days Podcast. Hey everybody, welcome to the Early Days Podcast, the show about the hustle, the excitement, the doubts, the successes, the failures, the ups and downs of building a business from scratch. My name is Marin, and together with my co-founder Julian, we interview fellow entrepreneurs about their experience of starting businesses. As we're building our own apparel company and documenting our early days, we wanted to go behind the scenes with other entrepreneurs and find out what their early days, weeks, months, and years were like. On today's episode, our guest is Patrick Henry of Quest Fusion. Patrick is a technology CEO and product positioning and marketing strategy expert. He helps entrepreneurs implement processes in their companies to more quickly and more efficiently grow their businesses. With over two decades of experience in the technology industry, Patrick has been a high-level executive to both startups and public companies. In our conversation, we cover Patrick's experience as an executive in the technology industry, how he started Quest Fusion out of a need to give back, the challenges shared by both young and mature companies. And in the second part, we go deep on the topic of fundraising, and Patrick provides a ton of valuable advice about what to look for in an investor and when is a good time to search for external funding or to bootstrap a business. There's definitely a ton of value for you guys there if you're in a stage where you want to raise some funding. If you want to learn more, head over to questfusion.com, connect with Patrick on LinkedIn, and take a look at his book Plan, Commit, Win. And now, without further ado, here is our conversation with Patrick Henry from Quest Fusion.
Well, my name is Patrick Henry. I'm currently running a company called Quest Fusion, where we provide strategic guidance to entrepreneurs, startup companies around a lot of different areas related to product strategy, market positioning, and raising capital for your company. So big part of what we're trying to do there is build an online platform in support of those efforts. And that started with initially a website and social media, but eventually got to being able to have an online course that's based on a book that I wrote last year called Plan, Commit, Win, 90 Days to Creating a Fundable Startup.
All right. And prior to that, what was your other experience? Because I've looked at your biography on your website, and it's not that Quest Fusion is your first enterprise, actually.
Yeah, not my first or second rodeo. So I've been a technology executive and CEO for a couple decades. I've run three different startup technology businesses. The most recent before joining Quest Fusion was a company called Entropic Communications that I ran for 11 years, joined the company pre-product and pre-revenue. In 2003, we took the company public in 2007, ended up working there for about 11 years, 7 years as a public company CEO, and we eventually sold that company to another public company in late 2014, early 2015.
That's really interesting. I'm curious if you've seen that there are any challenges that, let's say, a more mature company has compared to a company that's just starting out.
Yeah, a bunch, especially as you become public, but even going through various different instantiations of building your team and your management team, as you're starting a company, you need people that, I kind of call them anarchists. You basically need people that are willing to do the extraordinary and defy conventional wisdom. Because it's so difficult to take something from nothing into something. So you've got to have that deep passion, the willing to break some glass, break some rules. But then as you get larger, you need to establish processes in the company because, you know, if in a young company, an engineer, you know, who are they documenting for themselves? You know, throw the documentation over your shoulder. But as you get to be a larger, more established company and you're bringing new people on board and people are leaving, in order to have continuity, you need to have at least some basic processes in place. And sometimes the anarchists have difficulty adjusting in that type of environment when, you know, there's more law and order, so to speak. So some people are able to adjust, some people aren't able to adjust. Also, when you're initially building sales with customers, if you have somebody that is a great kind of small team leader that can go out and aggressively do tiger team type of deals, that's vastly different than running a global sales organization and lots of market channels and a big team. So again, sometimes people are able to adjust to that, sometimes people are not. So it's a variety of different things that occur as you start to scale a company that some deal with process, some deal with people, some deal with just the complexity of the product lines. And as you're scaling the company, sometimes people can grow with that and grow with the company. That's always the desire, is to promote from within. But sometimes you have to bring people in from the outside that maybe have more experience in a particular area, because you only have a finite amount of time for a person to get from point A to point B, point A being kind of what their, where their skill sets are at today, point B where they need to be in order to run the business as it's evolved. And some people can traverse that path, other people will take them too long, so you need to make changes.
And back to Quest Fusion, what was the main motivation of starting it?
You know, after running a bunch of tech companies, especially being a public company CEO for 7 years, I just wanted to detox from the process of running a large public company. So just kind of hung up a shingle with the Quest Fusion name on it and started blogging and doing video interviews like you guys do with my friends and other CEOs and other entrepreneurs, really trying to give back and provide guidance to entrepreneurs based on my, at that point, vast experience in growing and building businesses. And as I dealt with more and more entrepreneurs, I saw that there was this real need out there for people, especially technical founders, first-time CEOs, that don't necessarily have all these tools. In fact, the first time I was a CEO, there was a lot of stuff I didn't know. And, you know, there was no great source for this information. You kind of had to learn it as you go or ask questions. And sometimes you would get good information, sometimes bad information. You'd look on the web. There's lots of opinions, but, you know, a lot of it not really grounded in experience and true research. So really started building up the key things that I use, the key tools I use to build companies from scratch into successful business enterprises and raise a lot of growth capital in the process of doing that. So established this kind of framework, this hierarchy for raising outside capital, because I was getting a lot of entrepreneurs coming to me wanting to raise money, and they either wanted access to my network of investors, or they wanted me to invest, or they wanted maybe a pitch deck. And I would ask a series of questions around their business and their business model. And most of them didn't have a good, thorough understanding or at least explanation of what they did, how they make money, why they're going to win. So this hierarchy of raising outside capital is a framework I've developed to kind of explain what you need in order to raise outside capital, especially from institutional investors like venture capitalists. And then I developed this process called the plan, commit, win methodology that allows you to climb that hierarchy. And it's stuff that's used from, that I've used and used it for decades, and it works well, and it's a good framework, it's a good process. There's certain portions and tools that maybe you don't need, but it's good to kind of have a toolbox. You don't always need to use a hammer. Maybe you want to use a screwdriver or a wrench every once in a while, depending upon your situation, to use an analogy. And it's been great. You know, it's been really gratifying seeing entrepreneurs come to me and start, you know, using some of these concepts and tools and making great progress when they came to me with a great deal of frustration.
When you started Quest Fusion, did you do it alone, or you had help, somebody help you out with building up the organization?
Yeah, it was all on my own, and then my wife joined and helped me do the social media and video production. She's a media expert. Some of my kids jumped in and did some social media. Then I've used a variety of different interns and contractors throughout the years. Also, when I decided to publish a book, I had to make a decision of self-publishing versus traditional publishing, so I hired a publicist. We decided to go the self-publishing route because of the timing of when we wanted to introduce the book. So she was very instrumental in being a coach for me through that process, helping to introduce me to an editor and a copy editor and a book cover designer and all those kinds of good things. And then as I launched the course, I had some other coaches that I've hired So I kind of try to take my own advice about getting mentors and have a strategy coach that I use that's introduced probably 60 online courses and has a great deal of experience with how to promote and launch and build online courses. And through him, I also hired a couple copywriters to help me with some of the copy that we developed for email sequences and promotion and landing pages and things like that. So primarily contractors, where I'm kind of beyond my depth of understanding and I need some coaching, or people where I can delegate that to somebody that they may have a specialized expertise or something where I can get greater leverage by using contractors. We've also used outside contractors through places like Fiverr and Guru as well for specific projects like our logo design and things like that.
And would you advise like other people who are just starting out or early in their entrepreneurial journeys that it's better to not just do it alone, or hire immediately necessarily someone for a position, but instead try to get somebody who can temporarily help you, like a contractor or maybe a friend?
Well, I think it depends on your skill set and what your background is. The Quest Fusion value proposition is primarily based on the information that's in my head, based on my experience of 20 years as an entrepreneur. If I were advising somebody that's building a technology company based on all the research I've done around kind of business success and failure and even my own personal experience, you need to have a balance within the team of kind of the technical product side and the business side. Sometimes a single individual possesses that, but more often than not, that's two co-founders typically. And even if those two co-founders, this is their first CEO or first startup job, kind of the first rodeo, so to speak, it's always good to have outside mentors and advisors. So I typically recommend that even before you build a board of directors, at least build a board of advisors. And even if those advisors aren't talking to each other, you have people that you can use as sounding boards for various different aspects of how you're building your business. So for you guys, you know, building a shirt company, being software people, you have some experience in processes around product development and some historical relationships based on where you grew up and, you know, the textile industry that was based in your home country. But you don't have the manufacturing experience, you don't have some of the marketing experience. So getting other people either in the team or as advisors can be extremely valuable as you're building the company. You both are very smart guys, so you know you can probably eventually figure it out. And most good entrepreneurs are smart enough that they can figure it out. But that's not the real question. The question isn't, can you figure it out? The question is, how fast can you figure it out in a fast-moving market environment so that you give yourself the best chances of being successful? Because speed of decision-making, speed of execution is one of the few differentiated tools that a startup has versus a well-established company.
Yeah, absolutely agree with that 100%. That's one of the biggest realization we've made early on, was just to commit quickly on executing and not spend that much time on debating ideas or options and ship as much as possible new things and see what's working, what's not working, and adjust as you go along.
Yeah. Yeah, that iterative process where, you know, the concept of having the minimum viable product and actually getting feedback from customers is incredibly important, as opposed to kind of analysis paralysis or trying to get the product perfect before you actually even have any customer interaction at all. There are other aspects of it, which even if you're doing those things about how do you manufacture, how do you market, how do you do those types of aspects of building the business, you get into these situations, and I've even had these situations in Quest Fusion where you're launching a new product and you don't know what the problem is. You know, is it a problem with the product? Is it a problem with the pricing? Is it a problem with how we're marketing it, you know, our product positioning? Is there a problem with the market? And even companies that I coach, some of these things aren't intuitively obvious. When you jump in, you have to really dig in and see what the problems are. And some of that is third-party market research, you know, looking at the analysis, but also dealing with customers and not only asking the customers questions, but asking them the right questions where you're going to get the information that you need to help clarify your strategy and plan.
That's really valuable advice for all the young entrepreneurs or early entrepreneurs who are listening right now. I'm curious to go back to Quest Fusion in particular in your early days. What were some of the early challenges that you've encountered when you were just starting out?
Well, you know, I'd been running technology companies for a long period of time, but I had never been a business coach, executive coach. I'd always been the person that was the operating executive, not a service provider. So there was an adjustment associated with that. Secondarily, you know, when you're a sole proprietor or a small business owner, you know, I'm used to kind of rolling my sleeves up and jumping in. But in the case of this type of a company where you don't have anybody else, you have to do everything. And especially in the area of business development and networking, which becomes incredibly important. Now, I've always been more of an external oriented CEO and have a lot of experience dealing with customers and dealing with investors and all the people outside the company. But there's still a pretty big difference between that and being a service provider, going out and calling on people that may not even believe or think they need the things that you have to offer. And the third part was just figuring out, you know, the biggest pain point for the audience, for the entrepreneurial audience. Because there were a lot of things that I've learned that I thought, geez, it would be really valuable if I knew this when I was starting a company or in the early stages of starting my first company. It took me three times to figure this stuff out. So I started writing a lot in my blog, started doing a lot of videos, and then looking at the analytics on what topics were most popular. And I was really very surprised that some of the topics that were most popular were as popular as they were, and even bigger that some of the things I thought would be like, these are life-changing things from my perspective, that they weren't that well read. So I think sometimes, you know, somebody might have a pain point that is so severe that they don't even realize that there's other things below that that are just as important or maybe more important, but they're dealing with kind of a crisis. And typically that crisis with startups deals with raising outside capital. So how do I fuel my growth through raising money? And that's something that you typically don't have to do in any other business. So it's a little bit foreign. And it's challenging. And even with great companies, it usually is a very time-consuming and arduous process. So I guess I shouldn't have been surprised, but I was surprised. And so most of the things I've written about since then has really been how these other aspects of things support that objective of raising outside capital.
Okay. And what are some resources maybe that you can point out, some of our audience as well, that helped you along the way, or you think would be helpful for somebody who faces similar challenges in those early stages?
Well, the objective in the beginning with Quest Fusion was always to build an online platform because face-to-face consulting doesn't scale. I can only charge so much per hour or so much per project for my time. So the way to leverage the information in my head is to get it to a much broader audience at a much more attractive price point than using me on a personal basis. So that aspect of building an online platform, if that is what your business is involved in, which Quest Fusion is, there are a lot of things I learned because that's something I hadn't done before. You know, I was working on product business companies doing B2B with big organizations like Verizon and AT&T and Comcast and Orange and Telefonica and all these big telecommunications and pay TV companies globally and big OEMs like Sony and Panasonic and Motorola and Cisco and Google and all these types of big OEM companies. So to reach the entrepreneurial audience, there's a lot of things that needed to be done. And I worked with a digital marketing firm early on, and they were executing kind of an SEO strategy, search engine optimization strategy for me on my website. But there's a learning process of how all these different pieces of the digital marketing mix fit together in a holistic way. And there's a gazillion tools out there for doing various different aspects of that. So there's a learning process of what tools work, what tools don't work, what tools work for my process, how do they fit with the other parts of the marketing mix between email marketing and your website and SEO and social media marketing and social in general and your blogging platforms and your email campaigns and all these different things. So it took us a good, my wife and I, who works with me on these things, and she has her own businesses as well, but took us a good 2 years to really figure this stuff out. And even now we're still dialing it in because it's an ever-changing market landscape. So in these online businesses, it's not only about the product itself, it's about having the platform that's well established and understood. I mean, prior to forming Quest Fusion, I was kind of a known entity within the tech community. I was Entrepreneur of the Year, I was Most Admired CEO, I knew everybody, I knew all my customers knew me. When you move into this kind of thought leadership type of business, nobody knows you. So, and everybody says they're the expert. So it's kind of like the movie Spartacus. Everybody is holding up their hand, I'm Spartacus, and nobody knows who Spartacus really is. So in order to do that, you have to write a lot. You have to do a lot of videos. You have to get your content out, and your content strategy is probably the most core element of that. But just having good content's not enough. You have to get it on the right channel. So I started writing for Inc. and Entrepreneur and Fast Company and started posting on other people's sites and being a guest on other people's podcasts and really getting my name out there where people could hear what I have to say and start to realize this guy actually knows what he's talking about. So that element of things, I think, was really big. Now, that may not apply to your entire audience, but for your audience that's building an online platform of support of their product, that could potentially be valuable.
Yeah, I think another super valuable thing that we can touch on is maybe take a step back and discuss raising capital, because that's a very popular topic. I mean, most of the people starting a business are very open to it. They're aiming for it. We're a bit hesitant towards it. So can you please just do maybe a quick pros and cons summary and then just maybe illustrate in what cases is it a good idea to aim for that? And then is there maybe a case where you don't necessarily need that at least for the first couple of years?
Yeah, so I probably would use the analogy of the drug commercials that are on TV. So, sometimes the side effects are so horrible, I would rather just not take the drug, that's supposed to solve the main problem because it causes all these negative side effects. Raising outside capital is kind of like that. Anytime you raise money from somebody else as opposed to bootstrapping, you then have a different set of people that are vested in your success and also concerned about your failure. And the kind of higher up you go on the food chain, from kind of bootstrapping to friends and family to maybe have some strategic investors and some angel investors and then eventually venture capitalists, they want to have their hands in more and more on what you're doing. And surrounding yourself with the right investors becomes very important, what we like to call smart money investors, people that have either product technology expertise or domain expertise in your particular area. Because at least then they might be a disagreement of opinions, but they have experience and knowledge around what you're doing. A purely financial investor can sometimes be a much more challenging and difficult investor to deal with. So with Quest Fusion, because I've in previous jobs, I've raised a lot of venture capital, I've raised a lot of money from Wall Street and various different sources, I made the conscious decision, I'm just going to use my own money to build this company and still get people around the table that are smart people in areas where I'm not as knowledgeable to be mentors and advisors. Now, if you're going after a business that you're expecting to be a billion-dollar business, you know, doing hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue or even $100 million in revenue annually, that typically is going to require some outside growth capital. So I think it's always best to take it as long as you can with bootstrapping, but then if once you've kind of figured out, okay, I need growth capital to achieve a certain set of key milestones over the next 12 to 18 months, and that timing is critical to do that, or I might be outmaneuvered by the competition or miss a market window, then you have to make that tough decision to bring in outside capital. And typically it's friends and family as a first kind of seed round or pre-seed round, then it might be some kind of early angel investment where maybe you raise that money as a safe or as a convertible note. And then as you get to more sophisticated angel investors and venture capitalists, you need to do kind of a Series A or maybe even a seed plus round that is a priced preferred stock round. As you get into the mechanics of how to do that, there's kind of a naivety that exists out there with company founders, not all company founders, but a lot of times first-time CEOs, is that the only important deal term is valuation. And while valuation is important, there's lots of other deal terms that are very important as you're doing a preferred stock round. So kind of knowing what's good, what's bad, having good advice, making sure you have a great corporate attorney, making sure you have other good people around the table that have experience doing these kinds of things becomes important. And making sure you raise enough money, but not so much money that you take enormous amounts of dilution. So typically you want to keep your dilution in any given financing round in kind of the 15 to 25%. So you have to make sure your pre-money supports that, you know, your business success up to this point supports that. You don't want to raise just 6 months of cash. You typically want to raise maybe 18 to 24 months of cash and have a clear set of milestones you can accomplish in that period of time so that those milestones reduce risk significantly and increase the valuation of your company in step functions that allow you to, on a subsequent financing round, do that at better deal terms. So there's a whole process and philosophy around this, but I guess to answer your first question is do it with your own money as long as you can, friends and family, and friendly angels. And if that's all it takes, great. If it's not going to be a growth company that has the potential for a big exit, then I think using your own money, these kind of more lifestyle businesses or things that are more likely to be small to mid-sized businesses, it's better off not to bring in outside capital, at least as equity investors. Maybe you want to do a small business loan, or maybe you want to get a line of credit at certain times to continue to have your growth. But you really need to be a growth company that's addressing a massive market for you to even think about raising outside capital as an equity investment, especially from more sophisticated institutional investors like VCs.
That's very good and very sage advice. Thanks so much for that. I'm curious if there are some traits of a very good investor and a very bad investor, potential investor, and if you could mention those.
Yeah, I think the first thing is finding somebody that has domain expertise in your area. So domain expertise, as I define it, is somebody that has specific market knowledge, maybe even customer relationships, other relationships within the broader ecosystem that you're addressing, whether it's your suppliers or potential strategic partners or customers, and a good understanding of how business gets done. Even if you're trying to disrupt the way that business gets done, having a baseline of how things get done today and how your disruption can add incredible value, all those things are very important. Second type of person is somebody that has what I call detailed product technical knowledge. So in your case, so you're doing shirts. So somebody that really understands fabrics, understands manufacturing, understands purchasing of those fabrics, understands the process of how you create those things and source those things, understands the existing product aspects of things. Whereas someone with domain expertise, they understand the market channels, you know, how you build market channels online, how you build market channels in bricks and mortar stores, all of those kinds of things. I'd say the third thing is somebody that you can build a collaborative relationship with. There's always going to be an inherent conflict of interest between a venture capitalist and a company. And VCs will kind of poo-poo that and say, oh, our interests are aligned because we both own equity in the company. Well, in fact, they own equity in 20 companies and all your eggs are in one basket. So if there is an inherent conflict of interest. And with all companies, including big, massively successful companies that are big brand names today, they always have that time or multiple times in their life as a corporation where the proverbial shit hits the fan. And when that happens, VCs a lot of times panic. And if they're not experienced in terms of your domain expertise and your product technical knowledge and have that collaborative relationship where you can work through those problems, sometimes bad decisions are made. And I'll just leave it at that. So it's just one of those things where if you find people that are these smart investors, and somebody might be super smart, they might be very intelligent, but all they know is something, maybe they're from the automotive industry and you're doing something in shirts. There's still some things that probably translate. You know, they're probably good business people. They understand manufacturing. They understand market channels. They understand distribution. But the closer you get somebody that has that expertise and can work with you, it becomes that much more valuable. Again, take the example of when you're hiring somebody. If you're hiring somebody for your company and you just look at their skills and abilities and you don't look at the cultural fit with your corporate culture and your ability to communicate and their ability to work as a team and kind of espouse your values, you're probably gonna have problems with that person no matter how smart they are or how good their skill set is. So same thing when you're building your board of directors or when you're building your investor base, having that kind of team approach and kind of common culture, common values, and an ability to collaborate with those people as opposed to having this really horrible communication, all those things become very important, especially when things get tough.
Thanks, Patrick. That's really great. Now, we're running out of time almost, but where can people find out more about Quest Fusion, the work that you're doing, and about yourself?
Yeah, so probably the best place to go to is our website. It's www.questfusion.com. QUESTFUSION.com. You can reach me directly through the website. There's contact information there or at info@questfusion.com. Those things, if they're directed towards me, I get those. And on social media, I'm at QuestFusion on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. I'm Patrick Henry QuestFusion. And on Instagram, I'm at Plan Commit Win, which is the name of the book. And if you are interested in the book, you can go to Amazon. It's available there as an Audible version, as an ebook, and also as a paperback copy as well.
Thank you so much for listening to the show. If you enjoyed it and found it valuable, we would really appreciate your support by liking, rating, subscribing to the Early Days podcast. This program is produced and hosted by Dulo, that's me and Julian, and as we mentioned in the very beginning, we make non-iron dress sheets from performance fabrics. If you want to learn more, head over to weardulo.com, that's weardulo.com, and take a look at our products, our story, and the journey of how we're building the business. Until next time, bye-bye.